And as we continue in worship this morning, will you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 11 this morning. And I've titled this message, Redeeming the Time. And I know this is the last Sunday of 2018. As I said earlier, pat yourself on the back. You made it this far, right? Good job. Yay us. All right, that's how I feel. We made it. Right? God is good. Some of us don't feel like we've made it, but we're breathing, and then right, we're here. So we're going to call it a win, right? Sometimes it does feel like that. But I call this message Redeeming the Time because I know this is the time of year. Hopefully, I don't know if you're like me or not. Maybe in some regards, that's not a good thing, right? But you plan out your life, right? You think about what needs to happen this next year. You think about your vision, your direction maybe, or your plans financially and for family, all those kind of things that are in your, or that you have to give attention to, you kind of plan them out. This is what I want to see this next year. And sometimes when we do that, those are good things, but sometimes when we do that, we tend to neglect kind of the spiritual goals. And so this Sunday is kind of a Sunday. It's kind of just primed for this idea of, how do we move forward in our spiritual walk? When I was going to school and through grade school and elementary school, I loved sports. I played sports, and I've had a lot of different coaches, right? And some of those coaches were good. Some I thought were trying to kill me, right? I was convinced of that when they just made you run more or swim harder because I played water polo. And I remember having this one coach in this one game I was at, and I wanted to sub. Always you wanted to play all the time, right? I was in high school playing water polo, and I remember this time, I'm thinking, I need a sub. I need to get out of this game. And it wasn't like I wanted to get out of the game. I just feared of drowning, right? I was that tired. I think I'm going to die. And I remember the coach saying, no, you got a little bit more in you, right? It didn't sound like that at the time. It sounded like, I want to kill you and get back in the pool. that's what I heard, right? It's like, he kept going on, and he was right, right? I ended up scoring this is like the highest scoring game I've ever been in my life. I scored like 5 goals that game, and I was like, wow, this is good. Of course, you play the whole game, chances are a lot higher, you're going to score more, right? But I remember having this moment of thinking it's like that, right? And in our spiritual walk, we should have these moments where there's somebody, hopefully a loving somebody, who's pushing you forward, right? So you don't have those kind of resentment moments, but are pushing you forward. And so this message is about what Paul is sharing with Timothy. There's this young pastor, and he's saying, hey, here's how you go forward, right? Here's some truths you can cling on to that help you to go forward. We live, and of course, if you're familiar with this phrase, redeeming the time, it's actually taken from Ephesians chapter 5. I think it's verse 16 where Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil, right? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed this next year. But if we were to say, God has given you this next year, what are some things you want to see happen? And for those things to happen, what kind of plan do you need to put into place, right? How are you going to redeem the time? I was challenged by this also. I had a professor who had one time had told us about, just taking 10 minutes a day, and he had read through some pretty serious theological works, and I thought that was just amazing, right? How did you work through all that? And he was like, 10 to 15 minutes a day. It was like 2 years, right? I mean, it took him, but he made it through it, and I thought, just 10, 15 minutes a day, redeeming the time. How simple is that? And yet we can accomplish much. And so I just looked at this as kind of what Paul's heart for Timothy is godliness. It's kind of this focusing in on godliness. And so my points kind of revolve around redeeming the time for that purpose, for godliness. We live in a world that is. It's dark. Turn on the news, it didn't take you more than 20 seconds, right? It's a broken world. And we need to be those followers of Christ who have the right answer, right? To be a light to a dark world. And so hopefully these will encourage you, they'll instruct you, and you can grab hold of some truths here. But this is what Paul tells Timothy. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. He says, he's talking to Timothy, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished, in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And he says, but, there's the contrast, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. I ask this morning that, Lord, you would allow your spirit to open our eyes and our ears to hear your voice. Lord, allow us to learn and to comprehend and ultimately to apply, Lord, your truth to our lives. And Lord, as always, I ask, please get me out of the way that all attention and focus would be placed upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, here is some counsel, if you will, right, that Paul has given Timothy, and he's this young minister, and here's the instruction, right? You're going to go into this world. He focuses in on, if you think of verse 7, this idea of godliness, and he sets it in the context of an athletic work, right? There is this idea of exercising, this idea of discipline. I don't know about you, but do we like those words? Maybe for the first 2 weeks of January, right? That's a good word, and then mid-January as it tapers off, we're like, try again next year, right? I mean, some of you are kind of like, oh, yeah, that's me. But Paul puts this in the context of exercise, really of competing, right? What does an athlete do? And of course, our mind is quickly filled with all the things. If you ever played sports or watched sports, you know there's an immense amount of training involved with this, right? They go about things. They work hard. They add certain things to their diet. They cut certain things out of their diet. They know where they're going. They're focused, right? And to compete, not just to finish, but to win. And so Paul sets this whole idea of pursuing, right? Redeeming the time for godliness, right, and pursuing, you're using the time rather for pursuing godliness. And here I think it's important as we kind of jump into this that we realize a few things. There's no shortcuts, right? There's no shortcuts. If Paul's saying, look, Timothy, you're going to have to press into this, you're going to have to grab hold of this, then guess what? It's just not going to arrive on its own. It's not going to come by, you know, a good night's rest, although it can help you, right? It's just not going to, you're not going to wake up one day and go, I've got it. I've arrived. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take a long discipline in the same direction, right? But it's going to be beneficial because he tells them there, if you instruct, you will be a good minister. If you help others, you will be good. These are good things for us. It's also important to note that all this, there's no shortcuts. The aim is godliness, not personal success. Sometimes we confuse that, right? My goal or me. No, if we get into this, we know what Paul is talking about, ultimately godliness, right, is conforming to what Christ wants. I love how John says it when he's out there baptizing, and his prayer is, what, I must become less, Christ must become more, right? And so pursuing this idea of godliness is really kind of the person of us, our selfishness, our pride begins to yield, right? Our will becomes submissive to what God desires for us. So that's important to understand. So as we get into this is kind of how I'm looking at this. There's going to be a lot of fill-ins. And on your outline, I left it kind of blank. So, I'll leave it up to you and how the Spirit challenges you. You can feel free on that. But my first point here is redeeming the time for godliness requires motivation. I'm a firm believer, we can talk all we want about how to go about something, but until you know why you should go about it, it doesn't really make sense, right? You're going to get into the middle of something and go, you know what, I don't even know why I was doing this anymore. Let's just hang it up and call it a day. So I think it's very important as you get into this and spiritual growth, whether it's, you know, for an Olympian or someone training for a sport, there's always an end goal, right? Why do we do this? Well, we want to make it to the Super Bowl. We want to make it to the World Series. We want to make it to the Olympics, right? There's this goal. I know why I'm in this. Right? Here's my why, so therefore they develop their how. How are we going to go about this? Because we want to pursue the why. So this is kind of my take on this. If you're going to redeem the time this next year in 2019, if you're going to redeem the time for godliness, we have to have the right motivation. So my first one here, I'm taking from verse 8. I just put eternity should motivate you, should motivate us. So Paul is saying, verse 8, he says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Live in light of eternity. You know, I think it's maybe you would agree with me that often we hear the gospel and we think, well, what else you got for me? Right? I've got Jesus. I know he's my Savior. That's great. But, you know, my life just doesn't know a lot of change there. I just, you know, I'm going through the motions. Sometimes we hear the gospel and it comes so familiar that we think, what else is there? And we need to, if that's you this morning, you need to take a moment and just have a timeout, right? And just take a step back from that and think about the holiness of God. Just take that attribute and how holy God is and how no one can come into his presence. Take for a moment and think about Isaiah in chapter 6 and how Isaiah goes, whoa, right? And you think of Isaiah, I don't know about you, I put the prophets, they're like, hey, those guys have got it going together, right? And yet Isaiah says, I am a person of unclean lips. An immediate moment, right? I am undone. That's his response to God's holiness. There is no reason you and I on our own can come close to God. And the closer we get to God, the more we realize this is a place I don't belong. Right, so just take that one attribute, let alone everything else, and then back it up and go, well, how do I get close to this God? If Isaiah can't, if John on the island of Patmos falls as though dead, there's something just wonderful, holy about God. I can't come close to him. How is it that we can enter into his throne room of grace with reverence and confidence? Well, it is Christ. Right? So as we take a step back and we begin to look at just what the Bible says about who God is, about who it says I am as a sinner, and then we see the light of the gospel shine so bright and we go, man, I'm so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And this idea of eternity. Sometimes we lose sight of that. George Whitfield, he made this, he said this one time that he once told of seeing some criminals riding in a cart on their way to the gallows. And they were arguing like a bunch of kids going on a trip about who should sit on the right hand of the cart. And he goes on and says, here were men condemned to die that very day, but their focus was on who got the best seat on the way to the execution. Think about that for a moment. Doesn't that seem just completely absurd, doesn't it? Completely missing the whole idea that there is a living God. Right, that there is an eternity involved. And so often as believers, we kind of think, well, this is just the world I live in. Just let me do my thing and let me exist here. And then when it ends, and that's all there is. But see, Paul is challenging, isn't he? Timothy saying, hey, look, you've got to rise up. You've got to pursue godliness. Not only do you need to pursue this, you've got to be instructing, right? Instructing the brethren, the brothers, the sisters. You have to be teaching this. Why? Because eternity. This is not our home. We are passing through, and our goal, right, is to be a light that shines. Jesus commissions us, right, to go. Let others know. So the idea of why should I pursue in 2019 my spiritual goals? Eternity. There is an eternity in the balance. Some of us have family members who don't know Christ. Some of us know coworkers, right? We know. So we need to put that in perspective and say, you know what, if I have eternity, I'm secure, I have Christ, well then, man, I need to make him known. I shouldn't just wait till this thing wraps up and go, well, you know. So that's how it ended, right? We should be active, right, in our pursuit. Because quite quickly you're going to realize as Paul is pouring into Timothy, Timothy is very important, isn't he? Timothy's going to turn around and take this instruction and pour it into a bunch of more important people, isn't he? Because the message is important. The gospel is important. You, who you are, becomes very important. You have a voice. You have gifts and talents. And the whole, as it continues to cascade, right, and share, your influence, your involvement in other people's lives becomes very important. We should never treat life like, well, you know, people are going to the gallows. Well, we'll work on it tomorrow. It should challenge us. So eternity should motivate us. The second thing is in the first part of verse 10, I believe the living God should motivate us. Right? He says, for to this end, we both labor. And it's talking about God, this pursuit. We labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Here we go. We can take a moment, whether you take on to that attribute of who you're, God's holiness, you can take a moment and expand that a little bit. Right? This living God, he is active. I love how Francis Schaeffer would say, you know, that he is the God who is there. Not only is God ever present, when you say the word ever present, all that God is ever present wherever God is. Right? We also know he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere. Right? He's an omnipresent, ever-present God, complete and whole, and yet time and space cannot contain him. This is who he is. And when Paul is saying, look, we suffer reproach and we labor for these things and we pursue, you know, our spiritual goals and godliness because we trust in a God who is there. You ever think for a moment, right, when you stop and pray? I love how a friend of mine said this many years ago. When you stop and pray, you have God's undivided attention. What about you and raising, you know, three sons? And I always tell them, when you shake someone's hand, you look them in the eye, it's respect, right? You engage. Look in someone's eye, because that's what we communicate, right? Of course, always attach it to the Bible. Here's why, right? We're showing love. We demonstrate this. You ever take that moment and think about when you pray, God is making eye contact? I mean, just to create a visual, right? We know God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth, but think about the attention. Doesn't it change the way we would pray, right? Doesn't it change the reason now? Isn't this the right motivation for growing in your spiritual gifts and growing in your pursuit, growing in your purity, right? Taking these things on and going, you know what? It's worthwhile to get rid of my pride, to continue to fight that I would walk humbly with my Lord. I see that in Micah 6:8. Micah nailed it, right? The nail on the head. I'm going to walk humbly with God. I'm going to love mercy and love justice. There it is. I'm going to take on what Jesus says and say, you know what? I'm going to love the Lord thy God with my heart, my soul, my mind. That's what I'm going to do. And when I do that, I'm going to love my neighbors. That's what I'm going to hold on. I'm going to get it. Right? Because here's my motivation. I serve and trust the living God. He's not some God who is dead. He's not some God who doesn't hear. He's not some God who's not active. Now, we can walk away from the situations of our life and look upon them and go, well, where is God in all this? Then we can talk about God's sovereignty, which I would say I don't know, right? But I trust him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. God desires for us, right? Maybe that's an area this year, and that's what God's working on you. Trust me. So we see that we trust the living God. The living God should motivate us. The last one here is, I put under C, is salvation. Absolutely should motivate us. Second part of verse 10, it says, God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Well, what is Paul getting at here, right? We know not all people will believe. The fact, Paul believes this as well, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't be laboring so hard with his life for the gospel. If he thought everyone was going to be saved, well, why is he giving so much effort? Why would he suffer what he has suffered through? Because he believes not all will, but while there is still breath, and while God is merciful and loving, we're going to be active. And this is what you see Paul challenging Timothy, go forward, right? There's a lot of bad teaching happening during his time. People will just say, you know what? The Gnostics, they believe, oh, we've got God, we don't need Jesus, all that kind of stuff. We've got the Judaizers going around. All this stuff is happening. They're thinking all will be saved. This is why Paul says, hey, get all those tells, cast them aside, those fables. Right? Focus on this. Not all will be. Combat bad teaching and realize only through Christ can someone come to God. This is the pursuit. And so Paul's saying, here's your motivation. Right? God lives. God provides salvation in Christ alone. Apart from him, there is no hope. Eternity is in the balance. You see the motive. And Paul is just telling Timothy, here it is. Keep going forward. Right? Keep going forward. So we see this as, you know, redeeming the time. For godliness requires the right motivation. Take a moment. Wrap your mind around the right motivation. Right? Why do we pick up our cross? Why do we follow after him? Because he loves you. He so loved the world. He laid down his life. Yeah, there becomes the right motivation. That's right. This is why I'm going to follow him. And this leads into, if we understand our why, well, this naturally leads into our how. This is my second point here, is we redeem the time for godliness. It requires exercise. And everyone said, about what I expected there. That's actually more than what I thought. Amen, right? Yes. It says in verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself. Your Bible might say discipline yourself. It is the same word there. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Here it is. We've got to exercise it. So what is, and I put this in your notes, what is spiritual exercise? What do we mean by that? What does the Bible, what does Paul mean by this? Right? What does the Bible mean? Well, here's some things I believe he's getting at. The first one here is exercise definitely is an ongoing process. Ongoing process. It's not a quick fix. The verb exercise is in a present tense, which means it's an ongoing process, right? That's what he's saying. But it's also in an imperative mood. So Paul here is commanding this ongoing process. It's kind of like that coach that just won't go away, right? He follows you around your whole day, right? Keep going. I think with that, the idea is we never arrive. I don't know if you've ever met someone who says, well, I've kind of got it all. And I remember thinking, it's a pretty thick book. Are you sure? Right? You sure you got it all? But sometimes we'll get that way. I've heard it, right? I've got it. Paul is telling Timothy, no, you don't get there, right? You got to keep going. You got to keep moving forward. We don't arrive. It's the idea of exercise. It's ongoing. Exercise yourself towards, right? Towards godliness. The second one is, I put, exercise involves hard work. You touched on this already. The second part of verse 10, it says, we both labor and suffer reproach. There's a few words, right, that don't necessarily we like to hear a lot. Labor and suffer, definitely suffer. And here we have this idea of the athletic, don't we? The competing. We labor, we suffer. I remember when I mentioned earlier, I played water polo in high school growing up, and I was a youth pastor in Oklahoma after I went to Bible college and went to Oklahoma for a few years. And I learned that people in Oklahoma don't really know what water polo is. I don't know if you've ever been there. You can make a case for three sports, but really there's only two. It's wrestling and football, right? Outside of that, they're kind of like, baseball, maybe. I mean, they like baseball, but really, football and wrestling. So when I told these kids that at FCA, I was at the high school, and they're like, what do you do? And I was like, what did you play sports? Oh, I played water polo. And they looked at me like my head spun around five times. And then they thought, and I think I had to explain it to a few of them, and then they looked at me and they're like, why? Why again? Why? This made no sense. Was there wrestling? Did you wrestle out there? Does California people wrestle? Yeah, we had wrestling, We played football. Are you sure? Then why are you doing this water polo stuff, right? That's kind of how they treated it. It's just kind of like this wrestling thing. I'm like, oh. So I learned all, just lead with something else when you talk with students about sports. You're like, I did some shooting. And they, we relate with that. But so it's going to take hard work. So the idea of training, and if you've ever been in sports, you understand this. And this idea of pressing and going, it means self-discipline. It means there's times where you're going to have to say no to things, right? And maybe you have to say yes to things. You go, I don't want to do this. But yes, this is good, right? I have to go train. And so the question there we might attach to this is, are you willing to pay the price? Right? If you don't have a time to which you read your Bible, well, then you need to find one. If your day starts at 5, then are you willing to get up at 4:30 to add it or add it later? You got to find it, right? It takes hard work. Number 3, I put exercise requires removing hindrances. Verse 7, he tells us, but reject profane and old wives' fables, doesn't he? Old wives' tales, things were handed down. This is what everyone's kind of holding on to. And in the beginning of chapter 1, verse 4, Paul kind of rebukes and says these endless myths and genealogies, don't waste your time with them, these false teachings. I think the point here is you're going to face obstacles, but you have to train yourself. You have to discern. There's some things you'll say, yeah, this is good, this is in line with Scripture, this is not, discern it. And I think if we're going to really let that hit home, we have to kind of let it resonate with the idea of what consumes my time, right? And they're the social media thing. I don't know if your phone records the amount of time you're on social media. Does your phone do that? Mine actually has shut down my wife a few times. Honest, like it stopped. You've met your limits. You set your limits on it? I don't know. Is everyone staring at me like that's not true? Okay. My wife's just messing with me. That's possible, right? But mine tells me, it tells you how many times you've been on it and all that kind of stuff. You look at it, wow, I was on it for an hour and a half this week. That's pretty crazy, right? I should get off my phone. That's kind of what I'm thinking. You're going to have to say, you're going to face obstacles. It's tempting, especially the little red thing pops up on Facebook. Oh, man, right? So is anyone on Facebook? Is anybody on that? You understand now, okay. Email. Email's it, right? The number. You guys act like you've never seen a smartphone all of a sudden. It's tempting. Well, my point is, some of those, when they pop up, you look at them, you go, yeah, let's check it. Right? I don't like things on my wrist, but I know I need to get a watch. And why is that? Because I check my phone for the time. And what do? Oh, check my email. Right? It's easy. There's hindrances. Those things eat your time. You'll be amazed at how much it consumes your time. I'm not saying email's not important. Don't get me wrong, right? I know that has to take place. But remove the obstacles. Number four, absolutely, exercise requires focusing on a goal, right? Here he says the idea is godliness. That's our focus. And it simply means reverence for God. This takes us right back to Malachi, doesn't it? Where Malachi tells us, hey, there's two groups of people. There are those who fear God, who reverence his name, meditate on his name. They are the righteous, and those who do not, right? He says they are the wicked. Ultimately, Paul is saying the same thing. Pursue godliness. Reverence who God is, right? Find out who he is. Dig into Scripture. Fix your eyes upon him. I love how the Hebrew writer says, right, fix your eyes on Christ and run this race. Go, right? Going back to sports, when I played baseball, I don't know about you, if you ever played baseball, I was thrilled when we got to the age where you could steal bases, right? And my coaches, I'm sure they told you the same. If you ever played it, right, what would they tell you? If you're going to steal second, right? You look at nothing else. You stare at that base and you run as hard as you can. Is anyone like that? Yeah? Okay. My coach taught me right. That's good. But think about in driving. Right? When I was at Bible college, one of my roommates, we'd drive over Highway 17 from Santa Cruz into San Jose occasionally, and he would drive, and he made me a praying man, I'll be honest with you. He was right there in that car. Because he liked to look in the rearview mirror and look at like a zit or something. I'm like, what are you doing? And there's times where it's like, okay, this is it, we're going over. You know what I'm saying? If you ever go over 17, it's hilly and it's windy, and I just thought, there's times, this is it, we're dying. What are you doing, right? And, oh, I got the car, you know. You learn this lesson where your eyes are looking, right? Everything follows. And naturally, you see this. I'll say, focus on the goal. Set that goal, right? If it's godliness, then how does it get to there? I've got the right motives. What do I need to do to put in place? Go this direction. Number five, right? Exercise requires managing your time. I love this quote from Annie Dillard. She said, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. A good quote. I remember a pastor saying, the kid asking him one time, how do you live for Christ? How do you live for him? And the pastor just said, well, can you live for him for this next minute? Yeah, I think I can do that, right? Well, take that 1 minute, turn it into five. Can you do that? Yes, take that 5 minutes, turn it into an hour, and so on and so forth, right? Yeah, it's every moment, every day, right? Keep going, right? Manage your time, be aware of it. Cut out the things that distract you. Schedule your schedule appropriately. Work these things in. Last one here is exercise requires pacing yourself. Don't allow your discipline this new year to turn into some type of legalism. It can get there. I love reading plans and all those things, I've told a few of you often that, I love them. They're good, like reading through the Bible in a year. That's outstanding. But there's days where maybe I didn't get to my reading today, then I feel guilty that I didn't make the reading. And then it gets piled up, and then I think, oh, forget it, right? I mean, I've ever been there. Or there's times where you kind of get to this place where you're like, I'm just going to show up, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to read my Bible just to get it done. And you realize that you just read the Bible, but you've benefited nothing from it. I think over the years, of reading, I remember having this conversation with God one morning going, Lord, I read your word. I have no idea what I just read. I'm tired. I got up early, right? I'm reading your word. I don't know what's going on here. And I had to give myself permission. And it may sound really weird. Give myself permission to just say, this morning I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to read 10 chapters. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to read a verse. But I'm going to engage the living God. I'm going to meet with him. I'm going to commune with him. I'm not going to settle for less. And if it's just one verse, if that verse just jumps out, then I'm going to memorize the verse. I'm going to spend time with him, right? Don't let your pursuit and your exercise and your discipline take away from who you're actually engaging with. Paul says he's the living God. It's not a stagnant foreign God who just wants you to go through the motion. He doesn't want you to show up because I have to. Oh, I missed my reading today, right? No. He wants you to come because you want to come. Have that heart. Holy Spirit speaks when we have that desire. So exercise, right? It's important. Exercise and pace yourself. Don't let it turn into legalism. And then my letter B here says, what does discipline look like? How do we know when it's starting to develop and it's happening? It's a few things that Paul points out. I just want to point them out to you. Verse 6, he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and in the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Well, naturally, right? When you're following this and exercising the things that are happening, you would be nourished with the words of faith, right? We know it to be happening when you're nourished this way. And of course, the second one is when you're obedient. When you're obedient to the words of faith, right? Is the Bible dictating your response? Normally I act like this. Now as I study God's word, it's coming alive. And now my response is this, right? And changing, I see my pride going away. And I see, you know, normally I would respond with anger. Normally I would go back and try to win that argument. But now I'm just going to walk away because you know what? That doesn't glorify my Savior if I get caught up into this thing. Right? I'm not saying you don't have to speak the truth or be abused. I'm saying there's times where you go, you know what? That doesn't glorify my Savior. I represent something bigger because my motive has eternity attached to it. My motive has a living God attached to it. My motive has the idea of salvation attached to it. And this whole season we're talking about is this Christ as a Savior coming. There's my motive. This is what I'm exercising. And you begin to see, right? Out of obedience, God's word begin to change the way you respond and act in situations of life. That's how you know your exercising plan is working. And those are good things. So in this last part here, I just kind of went to the idea of practical applications is what I've called this. Now, I realize I think I have 6 or 7 of them here. I left a big space on your notes. I know many of you, hopefully all of you, are working. You're in a pursuit, right? You're denying yourself. You're picking up your cross and following after Jesus, which is good. I'm not saying these things, saying none of you are doing this. I know you're doing this. I know you. My desire is to push you forward. And if I need to get a whistle out, right, as a good coach, I won't do that. But you see, you go forward. 2019 is right around the corner, right? I know you're assessing your spiritual goals in 2018. What did it look like? 2019, yeah. And I go back to that moment of that water polo game and that coach said, you have a little bit more. And I know. Some of you may think, man, I'm about ready to tap out of this thing. Well, let me tell you, right? Yeah, you got a little bit more. Let 2019 be a little bit more where you grow in this, a little bit more of humility, a little bit more of love, a little bit more of these things, right? Why? Because our motive is what? Eternity, a living God, salvation. That's why. So on these practical applications, I have, I think, 6 or 7 listed here. I don't expect you to write them all down. I just grab hold of the 1 or 2 that resonate with you. So this is what I'm going to work with. The first one I have here is, for help, practical application, develop a one-sentence purpose statement for your life. A few times as we do our family devotions, we'll talk about this with my boys. I'll say, you know, a great one is if you don't just take scripture, take Micah 6:8, and it summarizes all of it. That's my life statement, right? Walk humbly with God, right? Love mercy, do justice. Take the one with Jesus, right? But if you talk about a purpose statement, we need to take those truths and combine them. Maybe make a 1-sentence, 2-sentence thing of who you are. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether we eat or drink, what all that we do, let us do it for the glory of God. Take that, right? Bring it into your purpose statement. Take what Jesus says. It says, love the Lord thy God with all their strength, might, heart, everything. Love your neighbor yourself. Grab that. Bring it into your purpose statement. Say, you know what? I'm going to be a husband, a father, a grandfather who loves God with all that he is and lives in a way that glorifies him, that I would raise my children or work with the right ethic, that I would exemplify and follow Christ. Write that sentence out. Who are you? And one of the things we do in marriage counseling, I do with premarital counseling, I have these young couples write that out. Why, right? Write your little statement out. So we work through the book, write this statement, why, right? Your story. Because there will come a day where you'll forget it. And why did you get down on one knee and propose to this girl? Why did this girl say it? Why? Oh, that's why. And it's like with your statement. Those days that are difficult and then, man, you're just like, it would have been better to stay in bed. And yet you hear Paul telling Timothy, you know what, you got to keep moving forward. You got to pursue this. You got to cast away all these things. You got to exercise this. You need that purpose statement that says, you know, this is who I am in Christ. It can be simple as long as you want it. It should be something short. You have it summarized. This is who Christ has made me to be. Second one is I put develop a regular daily time in the Word and prayer. If you're not doing this, this is your year to start this. You've got to get into God's Word. A few verses, Psalms 119, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Good verses, right? Find a reading plan. Again, don't let it turn into some type of legalistic thing, but engage with God, get into his word. It's so important. Memorize scripture, right? Especially if a passage you're struggling with. Remember being down in Mexico, almost at Oklahoma. Down in Mexico one time, my roommate from Bible college, his father was a missionary, so he spent summers down there and working out in the middle of this field, you know, it's all dirty, and we would help build churches and work in orphanages and work with youth kids. And, you know, there's probably went too many days without a shower, let's be honest, right? It was pretty rough. But I remember being down there and just working through a passage of scripture that just didn't make sense to me. I didn't get what Paul was getting. It was a passage in Colossians. I thought, man, what does this mean? I remember thinking about it while I'm digging. And I remember this moment where the Spirit just went bing, and I just remember thinking, that's what this verse means. Right? Find a verse. If you struggle with it, memorize it. Commit it to memory and pray. Lord, help me. The Spirit desperately wants to shine light on his word. So I encourage you to do that. Find that time. Find that time to read, to memorize. Next one is develop a godly character qualities. You know, a good starting place here, if you're being challenged by that, if there's something that's lacking, maybe you're struggling with not loving the way you should, well then memorize. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Work on it. Memorize that. I want to see this happening in me. If you're struggling with the idea of pride, right? I think we all are. We said yes and amen. I'm not looking around. We all struggle with that. We want to grow in humility. Well, then understand there's nothing you have that God hasn't blessed you with. Paul says it like this. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast if you had not received it? Right? The very breath you have. Right? We choose to be thankful. We can look in our life and go, where was God in this? God won't depart. He won't abandon us. He'll never forsake us. We know we have him. We may not get all the answers this side of eternity. We know we have him. We know we have life because of him. Letter D, develop a habit of reading good books. I put solid Christian books. Man, I can't stress this enough. Richard Baxter, he wrote this quote as a Puritan. He said, make careful choice of the books which you read. Let the Holy Scriptures ever have the preeminence. And next to them, those solid, lively, heavenly treaties which best expound and apply the Scriptures. And next, credible histories, especially of the church. But take heed of false teachers who would corrupt your understandings. Find a good book. If you don't know what a good, solid Christian book is, man, come talk to me. I'll point you in the right direction. Banner of Truth put a book out called You Must Read. And it's all of current preachers, big name preachers, from MacArthur, Talister, Begg, Sinclair Ferguson. It's a list, a bunch of current day preachers who put in this book the books that have most shaped them and why. So if you want to know what book has most shaped John MacArthur, it's in there, and he'll tell you why. Why would you read this book? Right? I have it sitting on my desk. I want to thumb through it. Right? Come find me. To read good books. I always like to say life is short. You only have so much time. Spend that time reading the good ones. Right? Do that. Letter E, get into a life group. Amen. Yes and amen, right? We need accountability. We're not meant to walk alone. Find one. Get connected to one. We have two Sunday mornings starting next Sunday, of course. And then we have two on Thursday and one on Tuesday. All that information is in your bulletin. But I love this quote from Dr. Howard Hendricks. He once said, the things that will most determine where you're at in 10 years from now will be the books you read and the friends that you make. Guard them both very carefully. Man, guard them both very carefully. Get around other believers who love the Lord. Find that right friend who will challenge you, will say, you know what, I love you enough to say the difficult things. Man, we need those. We need cheerleaders, absolutely, but we need those to say, we need to have a moment here, right? I need to tell you some things. Have that accountability. Find those people, right? It's important. Let them shape you. And of course, in the reverse of that is you be that same person. Help some others. Last one is, I just put here, use your gifts for service. Man, you're not a mistake. God didn't blow it on you. No matter how many times you may think that of yourself, you know, I don't know, you must have met, it's something for, you know, someone else will do that, or I can't do that. No, God didn't mess up on you. God has designed you, right? He's created you. He's given you gifts and talents and abilities for a purpose. We glorify his son, and it may be a big ministry, small ministry, maybe something insignificant that no one ever notices until we get to heaven and go, man, wow, look at this. But don't ever take yourself out of it or think that you're incapable. Yeah, we need to grow and to develop all those things of God's word, absolutely. But don't let it cripple you. I mean, take the step. If you engage in conversations, you don't know the answer, well, then just be, say, hey, I'll figure that out. We'll come back, we'll talk to you, I'll find someone, I'll grab an elder, grab a pastor, we'll talk about this. But don't limit yourself. God has given you life and breath for a purpose, right? He wants us to seek him, to know him. Clearly, he's given us his word, he's given us his son. We understand that. He wants us to know him, he wants us to worship him, he wants us to be encouraged by him. And I believe wholeheartedly that God delights, he delights when his children come and we trust him, when we pray to him, we seek him, when we enjoy what he blesses us with. Right, I think God enjoys when we go out and enjoy his creation, or we enjoy the simple things of life, and we joy in the middle and say, Lord, thank you. All those things in family. I think when we delight in that, I believe God delights in his children, and we delight in the things he provides. I believe that's his heart and his character, right? And he's made you with gifts and talents and abilities to serve, right? And he wants us, he wants you, right, to serve in the area that where you live, where you breathe. Be that person. So hopefully these are some challenges. Again, you didn't have to write all those down. If you did, that's outstanding. But just find one. Let 2019 be a year where you grow in your faith, grow in your purity, grow in your sanctification. And where you're not the same where you're at, but I'm pursuing forward, moving forward. The whole call when Jesus says, come, right? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow is a call to move forward. Right? Discipleship is not to be stagnant. It's not to be just, well, this is where I am. This, you know, next year, this time, I'm still here. No, you're going to go forward. Right, and if you're on the fence, I'll kick you off in Jesus' name. Right, go forward. I think it's very important. I believe when we stop moving forward, I believe the enemy is much more active. And I love that illustration when I was reading Stephen Ambrose's in Citizen Soldier. And one of the first things that America learned in World War II when they landed is they kind of had World War I tactics. Right, we'd just hide in this trench, or we'd hide close to the ground, or we wouldn't move. And of course, the advancement of artillery, they could aim their artillery, right? And they're not just haphazard. No, they could zero it in on you. And so these citizen soldiers had to learn in the middle of all of that, had to get up and keep moving forward. Because they knew if they stayed there, they eventually would get killed. I just remember reading that and going, that's just amazing that these could do, they could do that. I mean, everything in your body would be, say, hit the ground, get under the ground, right? Get as far under the ground as possible and overcome all that fear and keep moving forward. But I think the spiritual life, a lot of times we get stagnant. We just stop. You have to keep moving forward. Whether it's good or bad, difficult things, you have to keep moving forward. I think the enemy just zeroes in. I mean, Peter says he's waiting, right? He's a lion just waiting. He's waiting for his opportune time. He waited till Jesus fasted 40 days, and then he tried to tempt him, right? He's not a dummy. And if you're not moving forward, you're not engaging moving forward, if you're just kind of floating around, yeah, he's going to zero in on you. It's kind of what he does, right? He cheats. It's kind of what he does. Hopefully you're inspired. Let this be a year that's different. So when 2019 comes to an end, if God tarries and we're still here and we all have breath, we're not looking back going, I wish I would have done this. We say, nah, this is what God has done to me this year. I can't wait to see what he does this next year as we exercise, as we trust, as we obey his word. With that, let me pray for you this morning. Father, once again, we are very grateful and thankful. We have breath this morning to praise you. We have come to the close. We know tomorrow is the last day of this year. And yet this day, this moment right here, we are in Atwater, USA. We are assembled together in your name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to praise you and to worship you. And we know, Lord, as we look upon this next year, there are things we want to see accomplished, things we want to see done. In every area of our life, and I pray for each of us, Lord, that we would be serious with your word, that we would exercise, and we would just strive towards godliness. We know it's not for personal success, Lord. We know, we realize that godliness means selflessness. It means reverence for you, to glorify you. Oh, Lord, none of us are perfect. God, we need your Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need your faithfulness to us to continue that work as you shape and mold us. You've begun the good work. Lord, continue it in us until the day of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, give us a love for your church, for one another. Give us a love, Lord, for the commands of your word, the truth of your word. Give us a desire, Lord, to pursue in our sanctification and our purity. That we would pursue godliness, that we would be in this world, not of this world. Help us, Lord, on those difficult days to be very mindful that we have the right motivation. Lord, we have eternity. We have and serve the living God. We have him because of salvation through Christ alone. So Lord, let that motivation just be in our minds. Let it resonate deep within us that we would, because of that, move forward. We would exercise and train ourselves towards godliness. That we might see others. That you would make us ever more so usable for the kingdom. And we would see others come to know you. That our faith would grow. Our confidence would grow. We would become that type of person that would challenge others in a loving way to keep moving forward. So, Lord, I pray for us. We are very thankful. God, we are grateful for your goodness, your grace at the completion of this year. And we do, Lord, we look forward to another year of spiritual growth, Lord, of physical growth, of ministry growth, not for us. May it never be done for us. May it be done for you. Your kingdom, your glory. May it be all about your Son and what he has done, and what he can do. Lord, you still change lives. Let our faith be there. I thank you, Lord, for each member. I pray your blessing upon the families represented here. Lord, let us just lavishly enjoy your grace, your mercy. Let us be encouraged. And for many of us this morning who are going through a difficult time, Lord, turn our attention to you. You are the living God. We labor and we suffer reproach because you live. You live, you hear, you respond. You are all powerful. You know our names. You know the hairs on our head. You have them numbered. You live. And because you live, we can face today, tomorrow. We know because you are God. So encourage us, Lord, right motive, right purpose. Help us to keep that in front of us, Lord, pursue godliness that you would be glorified. I give you all the praise. Lord, all the praise that belongs to you. You are God. Bring glory to yourself and us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.